The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio with husband and wife vintners Roger and Donna Beery. If you've ever been interested in starting your own winery or just learning a little more about wine and what goes on behind the bottle, stay tuned for the next hour. Now, here are Roger and Donna.
Welcome back to this pre-holiday segment of Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio. We're glad you joined us. You know, I think it's always quite funny at the beginning of the show, they run this this thing that the opinions of the host may not match with the opinions of Voice America Radio, and I kind of get a chuckle about that because we here on Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio really only promote one controversial thought, and that is we love wine and you should too, and so we try to help you with your love of wine and maybe understand it a little better. Our guest today is Sharon Harris, who is a winemaker and vintner in Napa, California. She has her own small wine label, Rare Cat Wines, but Sharon also runs a website called A Woman's Palate. And while we'll talk about Rare Cat Wines and some of the exciting things she's doing with that, we're also going to talk to Sharon about women in winemaking and women and wine. I know, many studies show that while men buy more expensive wines generally, women buy a lot more wine than men. But women often seem to be a little intimidated about wine. So if you're a lady and you're listening to this show, hopefully Sharon will help you become less intimidated and maybe even learn to master the wine list. So, Donna, what's in your glass as we start?
Well, with Christmas around the corner and Hanukkah in full swing, in honor of our family and friends, near and far, I am drinking a Giordano Prosecco.
Well, and Giordano wines is one that we've talked about quite a bit. And, Prosecco is, for those of you that don't know, is an Italian sparkling wine. They're normally very reasonably priced. It's something that you can buy quite a few bottles and have a lot of fun with, but they're delicious sparkling wines. And Giordano is an Italian wine producer, but is only available online. It's available in about 20, 25 states, but you can find them at theitalianwineclub.com. That's theitalianwineclub.com. And their wines are just an absolute fantastic value.
Well, this time of year, I know all of us want to maybe start out with a little sparkling wine just because it's, very festive, although you can drink it anytime and make that day festive. So if you don't want to spend the money, perhaps it's not in your budget this year to do a French champagne or a California sparkling, a Prosecco from Italy or a Cava from Spain is a good way to go, I think.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I know a lot of you are out there, I think, probably still doing some holiday shopping. So I think we'll give you some tips on what you might buy for the wine lover on your list.
Well, I think it's kind of funny, Donna, because we've been getting, in the last couple of days, we've been getting flooded with emails from PR people and wineries and, other people that create wine related things, saying add this to your last minute posting on gifts. And so we're not doing a last minute posting, but we thought we would share with you some of these ideas that we personally like. And one thing you can do is if you find one of these you want to go online and order them, you can always just give that person a card with a picture of the gift and have it shipped later. So, don't worry that Christmas Day is just less than a week away. So, One of the emails I got today talked about apps and iPhone, or not iPhone, but iOS and Android apps. And so
for smartphones, correct? You know, this is not my forte, so that's why you're speaking to this.
I understand. So basically for all smartphones. And so I downloaded some of these and played with them today. And some of them I already had of my own. And so I thought we'd go ahead and talk about these apps, because if you're, you know, maybe you can, you know, give a, you know, a gift card for apps. But, you know, one of the first one, or one of the ones that is pretty popular right now, is called Delectable. Delectable. And that's a smartphone app where you take a photo of the wine label, and it shows you how other users have rated that wine. And I tested it today on some fairly obscure small producer wines, and it did a really good job. And so on the main wines that you might see in a wine shop or a liquor store, I think you'll get a whole lot from it. And so I pulled up one of my sort of more, you know obscure wineries that I love, Alpha Omega, which earlier in the year we had the Alpha Omega winemaker Jean Hofliger on the show. But you know, just on this Alpha Omega Chardonnay, there's about 10 different reviews. We get scores from, you know, 9.1 to a 10 out of 10. And you get some sort of funny stuff going back and forth. Like Matt says, not a white wine drinker, but the touch of creme brulee will win me over. And then we've got Joanne, who is not showing up here, but apparently she liked it a lot. But then we have Dave on here saying, we liked it a little less than Joanne. So Joanne must have scored it a 10 because Dave gave it a 9.7. So this is a wine community, and it's a free app. Now, another one that's kind of cool is Hello Vino. And again, it gives, you know, critics ratings, you know, for different wines, and it also gives food pairing. So if you let me pull the app up here, and so I can show you exactly how it, or talk to you about how it works. So if I am going to have veal tonight, I click on veal, and I can tell it I'm going to have veal parmesan, and then it tells me to try a Merlot, and it gives a couple of picks that are reasonably priced. And then it gives me some other options like a Brunello, a Chianti. So that's kind of cool. Now, the downside to Hello Vino is if you want to scan wine labels and get a result for the scan, you have to pay for that. The app itself is free. And the reason is that it goes to another app that I'm going to recommend, which is Wine Searcher. So I guess Hello Vino must have to pay Wine Searcher for something. And Wine Searcher is just, you know, fantastic, because you can take pictures of the wine, you can type in the name of the wine, and it will give you back a list of places where you can buy that wine and how much that wine costs. So especially if you're in a restaurant and you see a wine on the wine list and you go, wow, is this a good value on the wine list? Because we know restaurants mark up the heck out of wine. Is this a good value, or am I getting hammered with the price of this wine? Wine Searcher is a, you know, a great one to either type it in or take a picture of the label. A lot of times a restaurant will let you hold the bottle and see what the normal retail price is. And for wine labels, again, another one I like a lot is Vivino, and that's V-I-V-I-N-O. And it's a very wide-reaching app, and there's about 4.5 million wine reviews on it. And so, again, you can take, you know, a picture and that sort of stuff. There's a free version that has some ads, or you can, for $1.99, get the version that's ad-free. But one of the things that makes Vivino really interesting, and I just experimented with this on my computer desktop screen, is you can take a picture of a wine list, and it will search through everything on the wine list, and the wines that are reviewed on that wine list will then pop up in the app, which is, you know, I think a pretty cool deal. And I said, I took a picture of a wine list on my computer screen, and it worked beautifully. The last app that I want to talk about, though, is Wine Events. And again, this is a free app, and it's also a free email service that you can sign up for from our internet friend, Eric Orange, is the guy that runs this. And it's just, if you're interested in wine events in your area or an area that you're traveling to, you can use the app or use their email service, and they will send you a list. I believe it's every Thursday night. Of about 2 weeks of wine events in your area. I know we're in Austin today, and we just got the one for Austin, and there's an event tomorrow at Solaro Estate Winery, which is one of our favorite ones not far from our home here in Austin, and it's probably an event that we'll attend. So these five, just to go back over them again: Delectable, Hello Vino, Wine Events, Wine Searcher, and Vivino.
Well, those sound like great gift ideas for people that are a little more technical than I am. But I would like to tell our listeners what are our go-to wine products that you could also gift to a wine lover. You know, we have, what, about four things that we have to have in our house that make our enjoyment of wine, you know, a lot more enjoyable. First thing is an aerator. Now, you can get many different kinds of aerators. We just happen to have the Venturi brand. I just went to the wine enthusiast site. You can buy these aerators for anywhere from $30 to $70, depending on, do you want a white wine, a red wine, a combo? Do you want a stand for your red wine aerator? And I'm sure you could probably go online and find them at Amazon. And I know Target even sells them now. You could probably find them even cheaper than that.
And so what these do, it's something that you pour your wine through, and it's usually for red wines, and it adds oxygen. So it's much like decanting a wine, only
faster.
Only much, much faster.
And some of us are impatient for our wine.
Yes. And as you should be.
Yes. And I also love from Sky Bar, they're called the Wine Chill Drops, and they look like teardrops, and they come in a little rubber stand, and you just keep them in your freezer, and they fit in any kind of wine glass, including a champagne glass. And if you decide you want a certain wine and, oops, you haven't chilled it, you put this in your wine glass, and it chills your wine anywhere, I think, from 4 to 7 minutes, depending on whether it's white or red. And you can go to the Sky Bar website, and you can get two of them for $30.
Or type in, you know, just Google wine chill drops, and you'll find them on a lot of other websites as well. But yeah, like Donna said, you know, it's stainless steel, doesn't change the flavor of your wine. And, you know, especially if you bring that bottle of Chardonnay home from the store, it's still warm, you want it chilled down. These drops, pull them out of the freezer and chill your wine down, put them back in the freezer, and in not very long, again, they're ready to go. Another thing that we use a lot, especially in warmer weather, is from a company called Angle 33 in Montana, and it's a concrete wine thermal. So what's interesting about this is they're very attractive. It's a lightweight concrete. I know that sounds really heavy, but your refrigerator will support it. It's not a problem. And you keep it in the fridge. And so this is not intended to chill your wine, but it's intended to keep your wine at the temperature that you put it into. And it works just amazingly well.
Well, what I love about it is it's a square, so it's very nice in your refrigerator. You can even...
Well, it's really a rectangle.
Excuse me, of course. What I meant was you can actually stack stuff on top of it if you need to. Of course, that means it's a little harder to get out when you really, really want it. But it also is non-messy. You don't have, you know, if you use an ice bucket, you know, you have all that water dripping everywhere when you go to pour for yourself or guests. Yeah, and this keeps everything nice and clean and neat.
All right. And then last but not least is we are big fans of wine barrel reuse furniture, staves, which are the barrel pieces, you know, all that sort of stuff. And when we were working on our own wine project earlier this year, J. Cage Wines, we needed some barrel racks for, you know, the barrels for our Pinot Noirs and our Viognier and Sauvignon Blanc, put our big barrels on. And so I saw this ad in Santa Rosa, California, for wine racks. They were selling them cheap. Well, as it turns out, it's this company called Wine Barrel Creations in Santa Rosa, and they are a wholesaler for all this stuff, and they make it all there. And so they buy old barrels that, you know, really need to be, you know, repurposed. And so they have a bunch of extra wine racks, so they sell them cheap. So anyway, I would strongly suggest that you Google Wine Barrel Creations, and you can put in Santa Rosa, and you can find all sorts of cool stuff, Lazy Susans.
Well, yeah, we have two Lazy Susans that I love. We have wine stave cheese boards. I just love the products.
Candle holders, all sorts of cool stuff, even dog beds out of barrels. Well, yes. Donna, with the holidays coming up?
Well, you know, I think holidays, you make memories at holidays with your family and friends. And as we've said many times, you have wine memories also. So this is a great time to combine your family, your friends with wine memories. You know, we've also often said, don't take something too intimidating to the family gathering. You know, make sure everyone's going to like it. It's not a time to impress. But if you're with your family and friends that are really big wine lovers, maybe it's time to pull something out of the cellar and stop saving it for that special day. It is the special day. I certainly know that our winemaker son put in his order when we were in Denver of what needed to come out of the wine cellar for our Christmas celebration, which will start on Tuesday with him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, we're about to go to break, and when we come back, we'll have Sharon Harris from Rare Cat Wines and A Woman's Palate.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
If you are a dreamer aspiring to realize your dreams, join host Michael Friedlander for Dreamers, Winners, and Making a Difference. For Michael, to be a winner doesn't mean you must have finished first or must have great wealth, fame, and lots of toys. Instead, it means you must have realized your dreams without cheating or acting unethically. It means you must have made a difference for the better in the lives of those you've touched. Tune in to Dreamers, Winners, and Making a Difference live every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. The way we do banking today continues to evolve. No longer is it just brick and mortar locations or traditional bankers' hours. Today, banking is 24/7. It's in the home. It's on the go. It's digital. Tune in to Breaking Banks with Brett King for a look at how traditional banking as we know it has changed due to a loss of trust, changing economic conditions and consumer behavior, government involvement, and of course, technology. What does it all mean? Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Bacchus and Berry Wine Radio. To reach Donna and Roger Berry or this week's guest, please call into our show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to roger@bacchusandberry.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, welcome back to Bacchus and Berry Wine Radio. We encourage you to check us out on the web at www.bacchusandberry.com. BACCHUS and Beery, BEERY .com, and on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram, just about any other place you can find Bacchus and Beery. So joining us is Sharon Harris, who is a very accomplished vintner in Napa Valley with her boutique label, Rare Cat Wines. Sharon also is the founder of a website called A Woman's Palate. And while we're going to talk a bit about Rare Cat Wines, while we have Sharon, I want to spend a little time talking about A Woman's Palate. So, Sharon, thank you for joining us.
Oh, I'm just to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for coming. So, when we left the last segment before you joined us, we were talking about wine and the holidays. And, you know, what tips do you have for our listeners that might make the wine in their holiday that much more enjoyable, or their relationship with wine, or, you know, whatever you want to talk about to make the holidays a little better with wine?
For me, wine is such a big part of the holidays, because holidays is about friends and family, and to me, wine is about, is something that helps facilitate and connect with friends and families. But for me, the holidays always start with champagne, period. Sparkling wines or champagne. And for us, that's the festivities and the happiness and the excitement of starting the holidays is to pop a bottle of sparkling open. Our tradition for Christmas starts with, actually, one of my favorite wines in the world is Billicott Semaine Rosé, and it's something that I've had and drank for years and just absolutely love the crisp freshness of Billicott Semaine Rosé. And for us, our tradition is to start with a French tradition of serving oysters, but with an American touch, because the French never serve or very rarely serve their, cook their oysters. They're always eaten raw. But what we do in our family is we open up champagne and we sit around the barbecue, and we barbecue oysters with garlic butter, and we eat the oysters right off the barbecue and with champagne, and it's the best part of starting the holidays for us. We also, being in a good, you know, born and raised Californian, we love crab. I think one of the best culinary things about California is our crab, and certainly it's the season right now. But for me, crab is so much a part of either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. It depends on what we're doing and who we're doing it with that specific year. And to me, one of the best things in the world with crab is one of the Russian River Chardonnays. And there's so many beautiful ones, but especially ones that have a really beautiful acidity and crispness to it to hold up to the...
Well, it looks like we may have lost Sharon here for a minute.
Well, that's once again live radio, and also our guests always call in. So a lot depends on how strong their cell phone signal is, since everyone calls in mainly on their cell phones.
Well, you know, but, you know, to Sharon's point, she was talking about crabs and Russian River Valley, which is in Sonoma, of course, Chardonnay. And remember, just a couple weeks ago, our guest was Kurt Beitler of Bohem Wines from the Russian River Valley. And that was what Kurt was talking about, that it's crab season.
Exactly.
For them. And it's, you know, he loves to pair that with his Chardonnay.
Well, you know, we love to spend our time in Healdsburg. And Healdsburg is not far from the coast. I don't think people realize how close to the coast you are when you're out there. You can be at the coast in about 30, 40 minutes. And so everyone goes out to the coast, you know, many times during the year to have champagne with their oysters. And then, of course, now it's crab season, so everyone's getting the crab.
Sure. And so
the crab this season is just amazing. Sorry, I lost you. I don't know if it's the rain here in Napa or if it's the wine train that just went by, but somehow we lost telephone connection with you, so I apologize.
No worries.
No worries. And, you know, I'm sure people around the country listening to this are hearing about, you know, I've heard for, you know, 2 years now about the California drought, and at least the good news for wine drinkers is that Northern California this month has been pounded with rain.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. I mean, we just are jubilant to have all this rain right now after 6 years of kind of high drought, but especially the last 2 years with almost no rain. So we're celebrating, and especially those of us who enjoy skiing during the winter as well. It's just a fantastic start to the winter.
Well, you know, you're the second guest we've had, and I was talking about this, when you had lost connection, in the last couple weeks ago, we had Kurt Beitler of Bohem Wines from the Sonoma Coast, and he was talking about crab and Russian River Chardonnay as well. And I think, you know, probably some of our listeners in Nebraska may be finding this conversation of grilled oysters and crabs for Christmas, you know, kind of funny while they're getting ready to fix their pheasants. So, it all depends on where you live.
Well, it is, you know, and that's always the start of the Christmas season, but really isn't, I mean, for us in our tradition, our family is certainly a beautiful roast. And so when you talk about either a pheasant, for me, pheasant certainly pairs beautifully with Pinot. And when you take a look at some of the beautiful, again, back to the Russian River, some beautiful, beautiful acidic Pinots is just beautiful with pheasant. For our tradition in our family is a roast, and we just love it. And you know, really, when you take a look at that, there's nothing better than a Napa Valley cab with the richness and textures and aromatic qualities that you find from so many of the beautiful Napa Valley cabs. It pairs perfectly with roast. So our tradition is always, because, being born and raised in California and being close to the coast, having oysters and crabs is really a wonderful addition to our Christmas. But we always, and of course, after the roast, then you have to have cheese, and the cheese and wine pairing is just endlessly possible. But a cab with any sort of wine is beautiful. So I think there's something for everyone across the U.S.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, tell us about Rare Cat. Obviously, your Cabernet is very highly sought after and in very small production, but you make a Chardonnay as well. So tell us about Rare Cat and how you got started in this.
Yeah, I've been in the wine. I actually turned 21 in Bordeaux, France, and I would say that that was the start of my passion with wine and what led me into the wine industry. I had been involved and started two other wineries, but we started Rare Cat in about 2008, and the goal was quite simple. I love, love, love beautiful, elegantly balanced wines. And really, I'd studied winemaking in Bordeaux, and I really have, even though born and raised in California, unusually, I have very much of a Bordeaux palate, but with a California sensibility. So I wanted to make wines that really married both cultures and both experiences. And we had planted a vineyard in 2000, a very steep hillside vineyard up in Calistoga. It's Cabernet Sauvignon Petit Verdot Cab Franc, and it used to have a bit of Merlot. And the fruit's really remarkable. It's small berries, beautiful kind of concentrations of tannins, but it has this beautiful freshness to the berries because of the wind and some of the cooling influences that we have where we've planted the vineyards. And so I wanted to take this extraordinary vineyard source, and sadly it's a very small vineyard because we got shut down in 2000 with the Hillside Ordinance in Napa. And so it turned it into a wine that really reflects the value of the terroir, but also an influence of elegance and balance. And that was really the impetus behind Rare Cat. And translating that to, I just am a great lover of great Chardonnays. And possibly my opinion about great Chardonnays are ones that are marked by amazing complexity. I remember the first time I drank a Corton Charlemagne, and the complexity of that wine just blew me away. That was one of my epiphanies of great wines, great white Burgundies, and there's so many. In fact, I just had the great chance of being at Hospice de Beaune, one of the neatest wine experiences one could have, this past November, and tasted through the 2014 Burgundies, white Burgundies and red Burgundies. But I wanted to make a really balanced Chardonnay that reflected the highest level of the grape varietal. And I use, I'm very light-handed with oak because I love the influence of oak in the palate, but not necessarily in the nose. And so I wanted to make a inspired white Burgundy from the great sources of grapes from Russian River, but to do it without a heavy-handed oak profile. And then I'm also doing a rosé because I love rosé. It's just absolutely one of the most happy wines in the world. And then I about to announce a little precursor to it, but I'm also going back to my roots in Bordeaux, and I'm not quite ready to talk about it, but I'm also going to make a wine in Bordeaux as well, a rare cap Bordeaux. So, and it's really all marked by elegance, aromatic qualities, texture in the mouth, and really about the beautiful balance that reflects, to me, great wines.
Well, Don and I both have had the wines and enjoy them a great deal. Tell us a little bit about the winemaking, and you've got a winemaking team, and some of that team is pretty well renowned.
Yeah, I have I do have an extraordinary team. I think between the people, I think there's two things that mark the team that I get to work with. I think that if you were to do a list of some of the nicest people in Napa Valley, all three of the people I work with would be in that top five list. If you look at experience and just profound experience, both vineyard management from winemaking experience to just understanding the wine market, those three people would be top of elk and within that top 10 list. So Joel Aiken is my consulting winemaker. He's been in the industry as a top winemaker for 35 years. He is one of the nicest men I've ever met. He has a remarkable palate. He has a sense of terroir and a reflection of how to, translate that. And more importantly, he and I are on absolutely the same page about Rare Cat and understanding what we're trying to do with the expression of what Rare Cat is. So I love working with Joel. It's some beautiful Pinots for those who are doing pheasant on the East Coast. Joel does a beautiful Pinot under the Aiken brand, and I just so strongly recommend that. The honor of working with Ron Rosenbrandt, who may be considered the greatest hillside organic farmer certainly in the U.S., possibly the world. He's absolutely remarkable, and he manages our hillside vineyard up in Calistoga from a very, very beautiful sensibility of sustainability and organic and making sure that we are treating the terroir, the grapes, and everything about the estate with utmost of respect. And he is just a nice, nice guy, grew up in the industry, been around the industry for 50 years. He's the vineyard manager for Spring Mountain, a very beautiful winery here in Napa. And we're lucky enough to have him as our consulting vineyard manager and have a remarkable team who works with them manage our vineyards. And then the last person who I work with is Paula Cornell. Also grew up in the industry, and many people probably remember Hans Cornell, which was a very famous sparkling winery here in the Napa Valley in the 70s. And so Paula grew up selling, I think her first sales job in the wine industry was selling peacock feathers at her family's winery. And so she just has a profound depth of experience in understanding how to translate the vision of Rare Cat, from a sales and marketing and distribution point of view. So it's with great honor I have three of the nicest, most remarkably experienced, neat people on my team.
Okay. Well, we've got a couple minutes before we go to break. Tell us about how people can buy your wines and your wine club.
Yeah, we launched a wine club called the Audrey Club. So Rare Cat, the name Rare Cat actually means a woman of such magnificent beauty, she's a rarity. It means a rare beauty. And interestingly enough, for me, the great wines of the world were always very feminine because they were temptresses. They always asked you to come back and to discover them. They never gave everything up at once. They just unfolded the complexity of aromatics unfolded over time. And so when we found the name Rare Cat, we just loved it. And we launched Audrey Club possibly because Audrey Hepburn, I believe, has to be one of the greatest rare cats in the world. And honored by her inspiration of beauty and charity. And so that's a new club for us, and we're really excited about it. We have moved our business in order to keep quality very high and with a rigor of staying small, which is my goal and objective, to selling almost all of our wine direct. And in launching the club, we have, I think, about 92% of the people who try the wine sign up for the wine, so we're very excited about that. And I think we're 99% of the people right now who come to visit and taste the wines buy the wine. So we're really excited about that transition to selling direct and direct to consumer. And people can do that on the website. If they're in Napa, they can contact me and we can arrange for visits, which is fantastic. And then again, sign up for the club. So Rare Cat's goal is to make really beautifully, exquisitely balanced wine, to keep the production very small so we really have a sense of everyone who's buying the wines, and creating a great community and opportunity for people to come and feel really welcomed in the Napa Valley. And so we're going to stay high-end, and we're going to stay direct, and we're going to stay small, and that's the goal behind Rare Cat.
Okay, we've just got a couple seconds before we go to break. Tell us about your website and where people can find it, and then we'll pick that up on the other
side. The website is rarecatwines.com, rarecatwines.com, and if they go to Rare Cat Wines, they'll find a list of the wines that are available. I hope people would be excited, and I hope they join the club. The club has two shipments, one in the fall and one in the spring, 6 bottles each, so it's a very... I think it's a very easy commitment, and then we do lots of exciting things for club members. And one of the biggest benefits for me,
Sharon,
is-
Sharon, let me stop you there because we need to go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the benefits of the Audrey Club.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back on the other side of the break.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
How do you achieve the utmost success in your life, career, faith, relationships, and more? It's all here in The Business of Living with host Scott Ventrella. Scott has experience as an executive coach, sought-after speaker, and lecturer. He and his guests will offer practical solutions and strategies to help you move to the next level of success, no matter where you are in your life and career. The Business of Living airs live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Families today face unique challenges. Marriage, parenting, and family forms have changed a lot in the last century. Family Matters with Dr. Virginia Collin will focus on building and maintaining healthy family relationships. We will discuss marriage, divorce, family mediation, parenting, lifestyles, and mental health. All kinds of family matters. Our show will feature guest experts and your participation, too. You can listen to Family Matters live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio. To reach Donna and Roger Beery or this week's guest, please call into our show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Roger at BacchusandBeery.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, welcome back. We have with us Sharon Harris, who is the owner and vintner of Rare Cat Wines and is the founder of the website A Woman's Palate. When we left, Sharon was telling us about the Rare Cat Wine Club, the Audrey Club. And Sharon, why don't you go ahead and finish that up?
Yeah, so the we created the Audrey Club for customers to be able to get direct shipments on our Cabernet, our estate Cabernet, and our estate Chardonnay, and 6 bottles of commitment on the Cab and 6 bottles of commitment on the Chardonnay. But we really wanted to create something, a place of and a sense of community, and we wanted to create something where we could give back. Rare Cat started its first wine when we produced our first wine, which is our 2009 Sauvignon Blanc. We donated the proceeds of that wine to charity. And so charity and charitable contributions have always been very important to the brand and very important to me personally. And I hope to always be able to be more charitable than you know, then possibly I can. And so within the Audrey Club, what we do is we give all our, we take a look at all of our charitable giving and we support our club members and the causes that matter most to them. I tend to skew towards causes that support women and support children, but what I'm most interested in is the passion that drives people to go into communities and to give directly to important causes that changes lives. And so when we created the Audrey Club, you're able to get access to fine wines, you're able to have access to some really exciting club events, but also in addition to that, you have possibly we can support you in something you care about, which is your charitable organization, and support that through a charitable contribution. So I'm excited about that. So I hope every, you know, I strongly hope that people are interested in joining the Audrey Club, and it's limited. We can't have many club members because of the size of production of our winery, but it's still available right now, which is great.
And if people just want to get their foot wet with a bottle or two, they can go online at rarecatwines.com and just order a bottle or two, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, your other passion is women in wine, and you have the website A Woman's Palate, which is a website about women, wine, and women winemakers. And so tell us a bit about that, and then we've got some questions about how some of our listeners who feel sort of like they're stuck in their comfort zone can get out and be more adventurous wine consumers.
Yeah, so I've had a passion of supporting women in the wine industry and to educating women about wine for many, many years. And really the first thing I did was bring over about 11 vintners from Bordeaux, a great place, a second home for me, to bring them to Napa to have a peer-to-peer exchange with vintners. And that led to a second year going to Bordeaux with 15 Napa vintners, and then the third year I think we had 30 women vintners from around the world come to Napa. Really non-competitive peer-to-peer exchange of ideas. So I feel very passionate about giving back to my community and my industry. And one of the ways I try to do that is to support other women in the industry and help them provide opportunities where they can share their stories and their wines. It's a generalization, but women aren't always great about telling their story. And the wine industry really is about telling a story. And so helping women do that is something that I greatly cherish the opportunity to do. I was lucky enough to be successful in business. So very, very fortunate. And I was also lucky enough to be a wine geek almost my entire adult life. And what I also found in the work world is knowing about wine was tremendously impactful. It was a skill that was so helpful in my business career. And I started to look around and I found remarkable, talented, educated, successful women, and so impressed by women who can run corporations and charities and raise millions of dollars for charities in their communities, but don't have the confidence to order wine. And I saw that wine was one of those skills that you could put in your tool belt to help you in a business setting. And so I started an organization called A Woman's Palate with my co-founder, Susan Citrin, a business executive from the East Coast, and developed a seminar called Don't Give Up the Wine List. And the goal was really straightforward. It was to provide fun, educational programs to build confidence for professional women about using wine as a business tool. And I think to date, we've probably worked with, 10,000 professional women's and women's organizations and large corporations across the U.S., introducing executive-level, C-level executives to vintners in the industry and peer-to-peer exchanges and providing really fun, educational, but valuable content about wine to build confidence, to empower women, and to encourage women to buy fine wines and use it as a tool in business.
Yeah, one of the things we know from studies is that women buy the most wine, but men buy the more expensive wines, and men tend to be more adventurous wine drinkers.
So, Sharon, what tips would you have for the ladies that are listening of how to break out of their comfort zone and try new wines and not be intimidated by the wine list or going into a wine store and, you know, finding a new wine?
Absolutely. So, and you hit something on the nose. 80% of all wines under $17, $18 are bought by women. But when you talk to anyone in the fine wine industry, it's usually about less than 5%. So it's so, and yet women are so so much more attracted to wine and use wine, drink wine in larger quantities. So it's interesting to me that women buy 80% of all luxury goods and spend, will willingly spend hundreds of dollars on a pair of shoes, but don't feel comfortable buying a fine bottle of wine. And it's interesting. I think we have two industries, too, in the wine industry. We have wines that are beverages that are made to produce as beverages, and they're beautiful and serve a beautiful function in the marketplace, but they're often don't show varietal characteristics. They're often made in ways to that aren't vintage variations. And versus when you have a fine wine, you have usually less chemicals. You usually have more interesting characteristics in terms of varietals. You usually have a better quality of wine. It's not always directly related to cost. But at a certain point, to make a fine wine takes time, and time equals money, and wines, you have to charge more for them. So one of the things I tell women is to find something that you really like. I always say to women need a good consignment store, they need a good bookstore, and they need a great fine wine retailer, and someone where they can go in within that retailer and find someone that they truly trust, or it could be a friend. And what I always encourage women to do is to start trying wines and start to put some details and brand names around what they like, just to know what they like. By doing so, when they go back to the store or within a restaurant situation, which is what I counsel women on, they have a point of reference to help a sommelier or a wine store person help recommend other wines that would fit or agree with their palate. I think the biggest issue for women is that our industry has made it feel like if you don't have the right descriptors around a wine, or if you don't know, a woman told me once, it was a great quote, I'll spend $100 buying a bottle of wine for my friend who just finished chemo, but don't laugh at me. What is a tannin? So somehow in our industry, we've created a situation where people don't, if they don't know a lot about wines, they don't feel comfortable ordering it. And so I try to encourage women to understand that their palate and understanding what they like is the only thing that matters in starting to put descriptors or getting on to understand brands that fit that palate will help them expand their knowledge base.
I totally agree with you, Sharon. And you know what we've tried to tell our listeners, male and female, is you don't have to use winemaker terms to describe what you like. No, describe it in your own words, but learn to know what you like, learn to know what you don't like, so you can politely say, I do not like this type of wine. But yeah, I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
I give a tip to women, and when it matters, and business entertainment is critically important for those who are building practices, like for lawyers or for pharmaceuticals reps or people who have to use business entertaining to build their businesses. Well, wine is a critical tool. I mean, it's just a non-negotiable. You have to understand how to order wine in a business setting if you are going to be successful. Business entertaining matters. What is it? It's a simple little trick, and it's so easy. I use sommeliers all the time. A somm in a fine restaurant is someone who knows their wine list. But by giving a little bit of information to a sommelier, you can get so much better of a product or recommendation from them. So one of the things I do, I have complete confidence about wine. I mean, there's 5,000 wineries out there. I don't understand or know every brand or producer, not by a long shot, but I feel comfortable asking and having a conversation with a somm where when I'm in a restaurant, when it matters and I'm interested, I will pull a psalm across and I will say, I'm very interested in a white wine that pairs with such and such in this price point, but I would love to know what's drinking well right now and what you would suggest, given you the knowledge of your wine list. And that way, it communicates to that psalm that you do understand enough that wines change in the bottle, and there's wines that drink more interestingly at a certain point, and you're asking for that psalm's recommendation. But you've narrowed a focus to a price range you feel comfortable with, and then if you can add, I'm looking for a full-bodied, or I'm looking for a wine that's similar to, and name a brand, that will help them understand the style of wine that you would like to order. So it's just a few pieces of information that can make a much stronger recommendation for someone who's an expert to help you within a restaurant setting.
Well,
I don't know
how
you do that, but...
Yeah, no, I think that's really true, and I think a lot of people, men and women, are intimidated with the one piece you brought in there is within this certain price point, because they're afraid they're going to be looked down upon if they think the psalm might think that, you know, price is too, shall we say, affordable. You know, one of the stories I'll pass on to you is we have a friend in Denver, a wine friend named Kim, who is single and is very knowledgeable about wines. And she says one of the biggest challenges she has being knowledgeable about wines and being single is dating. And she goes to a restaurant and maybe she's having dinner with a great guy, but he's a Miller Lite drinker, and he wants to take over the wine list and wants to order the wine because he's the man. He doesn't know anything about wine. She knows a lot about wine, and the men are just very hesitant to give her the reins to order the wine, even though she is much more knowledgeable about it.
Isn't that interesting? And, you know, we don't have statistics, but I think, you know, just from my knowledge and what people say, most of the time in a restaurant situation, the psalm will give the wine list to a man, I would say 80 to 85, 90% of time. That's interesting. I think we need some education within the wine industry and working with psalms to understand that we should put it out to, it's not always the man who orders. That's an interesting concept. But also what's interesting is in a business setting, and possibly it doesn't matter, but most likely it does, whoever orders that wine and takes control of the wine list, there's a subtle sense of authority and respect that happens. And especially if you're in a setting where you don't know the person that well, and the business environment is one that you're getting to know each other, whether you're recruiting someone or trying to sell a product to someone or establish a partnership with someone, those subtle things do actually matter. And I would just like to see women feel more confident within those settings, that if they choose to, they understand how to feel comfortable in an environment and feel comfortable taking control of the wine list and ordering a wine. That's my goal is, and I laugh because I have so many great guy friends who are wine lovers, and what I always laugh with them, because they always tease me about always working with women, and they always laugh, and what I like to say to them, if I'm successful getting women to appreciate and understand the importance of fine wines and to drink more fine wines, then they're going to have a better experience. So it's really all about getting women to share a beautiful bottle of wine with a person, whether they're single or married or it's their father or brother. So,
well, sharing wine, you know, again, now we're circling back to the holidays, but, you know, sharing wine is just, you know, a great way to make friends, and it's a great way to get to know people. It's a great social lubricant.
It enhances memories, yes.
It does enhance memories unless you drink too much.
Then you can't remember.
But we just have about a minute left, Sharon. So again, tell our listeners how they can find Rare Cat and find your wines.
Oh, we love that. They can find Rare Cat. The best way to do it, since we sell direct, is through the website rarecatwines.com. And if it's women listeners and they have professional business organizations and they're interested in great wine education geared towards women by women and meeting fantastic female vintners, They can also go to a womenspalette.com, and we provide fantastic education and connect great women in business with great women in the wine industry, and would love to do that. So for Rarecat, my great passion of my wine, it's rarecatwines.com. And again, you know, being able to help women and empower women and help create confidence within a business setting around wine, then it's awomenspalette.com.
Well, great. Sharon, thank you very much for joining us today. We hope you and your family have a wonderful Christmas, and the same to our listeners as well.
Until our next glass of wine.
Happy holidays. Thank you so much for asking me to join you today. And again, have a wonderful time over the holidays. And I hope all the listeners are drinking some beautiful bottles of wine that they enjoy sharing with their family and friends.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sharon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Until next time.
Until next time, cheers.
Thank you for joining us this week for Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio. Roger and Donna Beery will be back again next Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope your weekend gets started with a beautiful glass of wine.